Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. I am live this afternoon from the 2019 Cardinals Ted Savage RBI Golf Classic at Norwood Hills, and it's very quiet where we are right now in our broadcast position near the clubhouse because all the players are on the course, and there are a bunch this afternoon. Mike Schilt is here. He's not playing. He's on the course, though. Mike Maddox, Colton Wong, Matt Wieters, Dexter Fowler, Michael Wacha. Again, some of these did not play. I know that Michael Wacha was not playing. Matt Carpenter, Carlos Martinez. We had an interview with him in the last hour. He is on the course this afternoon. And throughout the course of this hour, we're going to hear from some alums and also some Cardinals broadcasters. And, you know, just to be clear here, these were interviews that were done a couple hours ago because everyone's on the course. And you're not going to want to miss the Benji Molina, Polo Asensio interview at 3:35 because those two guys, first of all, the energy that Polo brings and just Benji's storytelling, because the Molina family is so close with Albert and they have some great perspective on what went down at Busch Stadium this weekend. So that's all coming up. But man, I'll tell you what, one of my great memories from the 80s is watching this guy play, Ray Lankford, who is a Cardinals Hall of Famer, and he joined me this afternoon. He is on the course this afternoon. Here's Ray Lankford. Ray, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, although I was just telling Mike Claiborne, this is killing me today because I'm doing my radio show and I can't be playing. Because, let me just assure
that's,
you.
That's a good way to get out of it.
It is, but if you needed someone like to come up and bomb one off the tee box, maybe past the ladies box, I'm your guy.
Oh, you that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, I've been playing, you know who I played with about a month ago at Belle Reve is Ozzy.
Oh, really?
Hell of a golfer, yeah, Ozzy is, right?
He's a pretty good golfer. I never played with him, but I'm still working on my golf game, but I heard he plays pretty well.
One thing he does that was interesting to me is he lifts up the front leg. So I didn't know, that's a baseball player thing? I don't think that's golf form, but he lifts up that front leg and he smashes the ball pretty well.
He lifts up his front leg, right?
Yes.
Well, I was told he's supposed to keep it on the ground, but you know, I guess whatever works for you, you got to stick with it, you know?
I was told that too, but he certainly made it work. What were your impressions of this past weekend with everything that happened at the stadium with Albert?
I think it was great. Once again, you know, this just shows how great St. Louis is, how great the fans are. They showed him so much love. You know, Albert, you know, like you said before, he came here as a kid, he left as a man. And he put up some great numbers while he was here. He did some great things on and off the, you know, on and off the field. So it was great to see them, the warmth they gave him and the love they gave him. Just you know, that's the way it's always been for St. Louis fans.
You know, we all know that, but I was just thinking of the impression that the rest of the country had to have, because this didn't just happen Friday night, right? It happened throughout the weekend.
Yeah, it's just been a whole big weekend. I actually got in last night, but I was watching the game on the flight coming in, and you know, just to watch that, sent chills through my body just watching the love that he received, and you know, he's been such a class act, you know, his whole career, you know, where he's been a role model for a lot of the young guys, helping guys with their swings, and you know, he's been a captain for a long time.
What's Ray Lankford doing these days outside of working on the golf game? You're looking fit, lean, and mean. If we're being honest, can't say that about all former athletes, right?
No. Well, just try to, you know, stick to doing cardio. Watch what I eat, not a lot of carbs, but right now I'm just trying to work on my golf game.
So what do you make of these Cardinals right now? If we were talking 3 weeks ago, maybe not so positive, but we've seen, well, won another series. Winning series, very important.
It is. I think what you got to do is take it one series at a time. And I think the key is guys staying healthy the rest of the way. Because, you know, when your big guys go down, it's tough to replace them. So it's a matter of staying healthy as a team, as a unit, and just keep picking away and just focus one series at a time and let everything else take care of itself.
What's your perspective on, they were talking about this last night on the game, on the amount of pitchers. I think the Cardinals had 6 or 7 pitchers in. This is a different game than it was when you played, right?
Yeah. I think because so many guys hitting home runs nowadays, so the pitch count is up.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. I think before, the last few years, I guess over the last 7, 8 years, you know, you having maybe 2 guys hit you 30 home runs, but now you got a you know, 6, 7 guys in the lineup hitting you 25 plus.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen is pitchers going to have to throw more pitches.
Ray, thanks a lot. Have fun today.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
That's Ray Lankford, and my on-site remote coordinator, Mike Anderson, fact-checked me very quickly. I said 80s. It was 1990. See, in my mind, I'm thinking 88, 89, but I was drinking a lot back then, so I'm just going to say that was my excuse. And after I talked with Ray, he was teasing Mike Claiborne just a little bit, and I think I referenced that in my conversation with Claves. Mike Claiborne, Ray Lankford walked up to you and said, look at this guy, a lean, mean. I even think he used the word sexy, if I'm not mistaken,
Mike
Claiborne.
It's been used before.
Once or twice, right?
Several times.
Mike's looking good. And he doesn't like to focus on the weight loss, but you've done a lot of great things. So how about this weekend?
Epic. I think that's the only word I can use. And how everything came together, the reception, how Albert was able to make time for virtually everyone, the home run. And the ovations were sincere. And I know some people say he was getting one every night, but you have to remember, there were different people coming
right
to the games every day.
Right.
And I thought it went well. We got two out of three. He was able to do his thing, and we won't ever forget it, that's for sure.
So last night was interesting because I was certainly in the camp that thought that game was over, and then I started getting ready to go to bed, and I had watched Fear of the Walking Dead, and look, the Cardinals made a pretty good run there in the ninth inning, didn't they?
They did. I mean, it was fun to watch. It was fun, but I think it was one of those things where they just put it together a little too late, so hopefully you build on it from this point on. But, you know, this is a team that doesn't quit. But now you got to be able to find a way to get over that hump, because not quitting, well, you're not supposed to quit because you're getting paid to play, but you got to find that next gear, and that's what they're still in search of.
So you you have the Flag Day marker, and
yes,
we haven't spoken since Flag Day. So what is the assessment? Explain to the Flag Day marker too,
okay,
because for people who might not be familiar, because it's really caught on, and I hear other Cardinal folks affiliated with the Cardinals that latch onto that.
Well, here's what I look at Flag Day. June 14th is the day where by then you have played in good weather and bad weather. You've had injuries, you've had hot streaks, you've had cold streaks. You have a real feel for your team because you've had a chance to assess them well enough to know what you have, and then it also tells you what you need. And that's why I think you circle that day and then look beyond that on what you're going to need in order to help your ball club. And so at this point, I think they still need to shore up some things. You got to be more consistent at the top of the order. You got to have pitchers go beyond six innings. You got to be able to find ways to move runners along and do little things. And I think you need to find winning players, people who have been there, people who understand what it takes, because you can work in the cage all day and do all that, but if you're not working smart, you might as well not work. And I think you've got to find guys to teach guys how to be able to take that next step in being more competitive every day.
So, and I can't even recite names to you because they're so new. You've seen all these guys in spring training. We got a couple of young bucks that are trying to get into this lineup, right?
Tommy Edman is a guy that I think, and you know, John Rooney and I were talking about him in the spring, and I said, you know, this guy's good enough, he might make the ball club. Well, he didn't make it. Jerko goes down with an injury, and now Tommy Edman has been able to give them something every time he steps on the field, whether it's good solid defense or his offense has been good. He's a switch hitter. He can run. He can do a lot of things, and that's the guy you have to take a look at here pretty soon.
So on the pitching, and last night was a good example, Michaelis does okay, and then he's taken out because there's a scoring opportunity in a low-scoring game at first, but then you run through, I don't know how many pitchers, six pitchers, and this is an off day, although the people are going to be swinging the golf clubs. I don't know how many players are going to be out there. But that becomes an issue that accumulates over the course of the season, right?
Yeah, it catches up to you. You're absolutely right. It catches up to you. So you have to be more judicious in how you use these guys. You can't use them every night. I mean, you know, your arm and your body wasn't built for it. And when you're looking around for an arm in August or September and they got nothing left, you go back to this time of the year where guys may be overworked because you couldn't get an extra inning out of a starter. They've got to find a way to keep pushing. You know, we're the generation where we love to pat guys on the back for doing a mediocre job. We've got to get more out of people, and that's everyone. And I'm not singling out any player or any position, but everybody's got to be able to push harder. That was one thing about Tony La Russa where, you know, he just kept putting his foot on the gas pedal. You have to these days because the game is too hard. There's a lot of young players that you have to make a decision on. Are you going to live with their mistakes, or are you just going to hope that they're going to turn it on at some point? And now you see teams that start to send guys back to the minors because it just doesn't work because there's too much at stake.
How about Trevor Rosenthal? Speaking of guys not doing so well, the Nationals just sent him packing, didn't they?
Yeah, you know what? We were in Washington when he was going to Florida to rehab, more or less. And I was told that they'd be shocked if he was going to be able to have a career in Washington. He just doesn't have the control. And when you throw that hard and you don't have control, that's pretty dangerous. And I just don't think that they felt there was a real future for him. Somebody else will give him a look at some point. I don't think his career is over, but I just think that he's got to be in a better situation and maybe not put as much pressure on himself. Just go pitch.
We've talked about playing, but we haven't. So how's the how's Mike Claiborne's golf game right now?
We're going to find out in a little bit. I saw
Mr. Claiborne,
Bobby Pavlovas earlier, and he worked with me a little bit, got me going in a different direction, so I'm looking forward to it. I won't tell you how well I hit balls on the range, because every time I do it, then I'm terrible for the rest of the day, but I hit balls really well.
Where do you start? Which tee box do you know? Because I want to come
seven.
Out.
Seven West.
Seven West, great. So because you're teeing off, you know, we're doing these interviews before you guys go out, but I'm thinking if I'm on the seventh tee box, I can certainly make some noise on your backswing, right?
It won't make a difference.
Thanks, Clint. I appreciate it.
You can turn a lawnmower on behind me. It won't make a difference.
See ya.
All right, man.
Everyone, nobody real bragging about their game here, although Carlos Martinez was very confident when I asked him that question. I don't know if he was being accurate, but he was confident. We have much more to come from the 2019 Cardinals Ted Savage RBI Golf Classic. It's the 30th annual tournament. Mike Schilt is the host this afternoon at Norwood Hills Country Club, and what a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. My conversations with Ricky Horton and the Cardinals GM Mike Gersh still to come at 3:30. Benji Molina and Polo Asensio, and I'll tell you what, those two guys relating the stories from Albert's visit this weekend really is special. So that's coming up before the end of the hour.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Well, Ricky Horton has a bit of a knee injury right now. Can't be on the course, but he was out with Mike Schilt. Actually, they mic'd up Mike Schilt, and I'll be fun or curious to see how that lands up on Fox Sports after this tournament today at Norwood Hills. But I did have a chance. We had Ricky on Thursday before Albert's visit. We recapped earlier today at Norwood Hills. Ricky Horton, quite a weekend for Cardinals fans and the team.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, they're just the magic of Albert was certainly on display again, and he didn't disappoint. And, you know, you think there's going to be this great moment with the fans, and we got that. But you also expect Albert to do something on the field to make it even more theater, and he did. It was just magical. I'm just honestly just grateful that I was a part of it.
We spoke on Thursday, and there was obviously a little uncertainty. I think we both agreed, and most people thought, well, there's going to be a great reception that first at-bat. But it wasn't only the first at-bat. It was the second, the third, the fourth, yeah. and so on.
I said, I think you and I were talking, I think I said 90 to 95% acceptance rate when Albert gets here, and I think I underestimated it because it was 100% there, and it was loud, and it was, you know, it's just, it was one of those moments where you just, Danny and I both in the booth, you just don't talk through it. You just kind of let it happen, and it was just magical. It was just so awesome, and I actually asked the question day one, you know, Albert hits a home run, does he get another standing ovation? Yeah. Does he get a curtain call, and will he respond to that? All different questions. And we found out the second day that the answer was yes to all three of those questions. And I'm so glad I got to see that. I mean, you almost found yourself rooting for Albert to hit a home run. And it's like, oh, is the score wide enough now that it's not going to hurt us? I mean, it's just, I think everybody in the ballpark felt the same way.
I absolutely do as well. And it worked out. Look, you win the game on Saturday and, you know, doesn't turn out as well last night, but you win the series. And they made a nice little run in the ninth inning last night as well.
Yeah, the team's actually playing well. And, we're really kind of feeling the losses right now. And I think if you look at the big picture, and that's one thing Mike Schilt is trying to tell everybody, it's like, hey, at one point we'd won, you know, 7 out of 10 games, whatever it is now. But the point is, that's not bad. I mean, you do that the rest of the year and you'll be fine. But it just, you know, when you're trying to get jump started, every time you have a loss, you think, oh, no, here we go again. And so we really feel the losses. I think Cardinal fans feel the losses. And you kind of just, maybe take for granted the wins. But the wins are coming at a fairly good rate right now. And, you know, they're back in it with the Cubs, and Milwaukee's not playing very well. So, it's going to be an interesting division. Cincinnati's playing better. Pittsburgh's winning late. So there's just a lot of fun ahead.
What do you do, on the broadcast when I was watching last night, I mentioned this to Andrew Miller, you know, Matt Vasgersian was talking about, and this is a conversation you and Dan have had, and you and John and Mike, but the starting pitchers trying to go deeper in the amount of use from the bullpen, because you see guys going out there and having good performances and then turning around and having terrible performances. But one of the points made last night is just you can't expect everyone to be perfect. It's like even when the Blues lost, that other team is pretty good, right? You kind of have to remember that as well, but you've got to get these starters going deeper, don't you?
Yeah,
that's
a La Russa line. The other team's on scholarship too. You always have to remember that, which I think is a great line.
That is a good one.
But I just had a conversation with Whitey Herzog 5 minutes ago, and so everybody's talking about, Mark, what you just said. I mean, is how do you kind of maybe make a correction back to the way things were, where starters would go deeper? In fact, Tony La Russa said that at the baseball writers' dinner. He said baseball has made a mistake of the way we've overused bullpens. We need to get back to 7-inning starters and or more, and that makes the relievers better. So he actually believes that, and I know Whitey believes that. One of the things Whitey was talking about is, you know, we have to use our relievers longer. So if your starter doesn't last, the next guy better pitch 2 or 3 innings. So you don't have 6 pitchers in the game or 7 pitchers, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 pitchers in the game, because then you're hamstrung the next day. And, you know, it's a weird place we're in baseball with, you know, the analytics inform you that this is the best move, but that best move is for that day.
Yeah.
That best move is not for that week or that month. So I think what we're doing is we're winning battles and losing wars. And I think somewhere along the line, I've asked several analytic people, do the analytics contemplate a series and a week and a month, or do they contemplate just that one day? And the realization is, no, it's just that one day. That's our algorithm. It's for that one day. Well, to me, that's a mistake.
Yeah, that is a mistake. So I'm hearing, is this a rule next year where there is going to have to be a pitcher that faces 3 batters?
I believe that's it's not in concrete yet, but I believe that's the expectation, that they're going to try to go to 26 players, one extra player, and all relievers have to face 3 hitters unless it ends an inning. So what, where you're going to roll the dice is you bring in a lefty to face a lefty. Let's say you bring him in to face Votto with 2 outs, and he doesn't get Votto out. He walks Votto. Now he's got to face 2 right-handed batters. And so you're going to be a little less hesitant to bring in a lefty just because he's a lefty. So it may change things. And you know, of course, injury is going to be another thing that would allow you to bring somebody out. And, you know, I don't want to be cynical, Mark, but I've been around this game a long time. There's going to be some gamesmanship going on with that. It's like, I didn't get the lefty. Well, you know, we're going to be soccer players laying on the ground as if somebody, you know, stepped on our foot. I mean, and doing the fake thing. But I don't know how that's going to work. I think when you kind of monkey around with just the
simplicity of baseball. I know. I'm nervous about it, too.
I'm nervous about a lot of things with baseball, but I understand the reason.
Yeah.
What it might do is do exactly what we're talking about, help you to use less pitchers in a game. Pitchers are going to have to learn to get lefties and righties out, and the pace of play may move a little faster.
Ricky Horton, always great to see you.
You bet. Good to be with you.
All right, we're going to zip through some of the other interviews that I had, including the general manager, Mike Gersh. We're getting an update on Alex Reyes as well. Mike Gersh, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, great. I'm on the golf course. Can't beat it.
Are you going to play today?
I am. I don't play much. I play like 2 charity scrambles a year and embarrass myself a few times and walk away from all the bad shots because it's a scramble, so it works out all right.
See, that's the great thing about scrambles, though, and everyone kind of has to, you know, do their part. And by the way, just to ease nerves, not that you have any, but everyone's basically saying the same thing about their game right now. Then it sucks and they're just going to lose balls. So just so you know, you're going to fit right in.
No. I think you don't want to claim that you're good before you start, because then you only can go downhill from there. So
right.
Set expectations low and then try to exceed them.
Let me ask you a couple updates, like Alex Reyes and what's going on with Alex right now.
So Alex left his start yesterday with some soreness in his pectoral muscle. Memphis is on the road, so he hasn't seen any of our doctors yet. He saw the local doctor in Oklahoma City. They're flying back to Memphis tonight, so he'll see the Memphis doctors and we'll get a better sense of sort of where he's at. But he's, you know, going to be shut down for some period of time, hopefully short.
What about I talked to Tommy Edman here, a little spark plug. I don't know, the Cardinals are really good about finding these guys. Obviously, he's in the organization, but moving him up here, and he's a guy that had a great spring. Are we going to see more of him soon?
Yeah, you know, Tommy's a guy that we drafted out of Stanford a few years ago, and he's just moved up, you know, one rung at a time, never really struggled at any level, never dominated any level. Then he got to Memphis this year and really showed power that he hadn't showed the lower levels. And I don't know how many at-bats he has up here, but he's hit a couple balls over the wall and a couple balls off the wall, right? So he's switch hitter, can really run, good defender, and his offensive game's developing. So he's a pleasant surprise so far, and I think you'll see a lot of him up here.
How about that play by Colton last night?
That was crazy. That was like a ping pong paddle swat towards second base, and it worked perfectly. It was Colton's been one of the best defensive second basemen in baseball for a few years now, and I think he's getting the recognition now and heading toward a Gold Glove, hopefully.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I guess you can't just give it for half a season, but that one should probably be on a bulletin board somewhere for whoever's deciding that particular award.
Yeah, I think he is both by the analytics, by the eye test, by the highlight reel. I mean, he's definitely, if he wasn't already in consideration going into the season, he's building a nice resume so far this year.
How different is Mike Gersh's mental state right now compared to maybe Memorial Day weekend after that month of May? I'm guessing a little better right now.
Yeah, definitely better. Yeah, the month of May could not have ended soon enough. It was a real struggle. It's tough. We still feel like we haven't played well.
Interesting. You're right, probably, right?
A lot of our guys are not up to what our expectations or their expectations are. We don't feel like we've had like a great run of baseball. You know, we're a few games above 500. The division's tough, so no one's run away with it. And so in some ways you can say, oh, we're in great shape because we haven't played well and we're still, I think, two games back right now. You can say, well, too bad we haven't played better because we could have been the team who ran away with it. So, but hopefully we get things going here and make a nice run before the All-Star break.
Yeah, because I was just going to ask you about the break, because there's certainly a realistic shot at being in the lead at the All-Star break in the division.
Yeah, I think if we play, I don't know, we got 2 weeks left. So, you know, if we play well over the next 10 days or 2 weeks, I think we have a shot to be very well positioned. Whether it doesn't really matter what place you're in, right? Like whether you're half game up or half game back, it changes first to second. But at the end of the day, we're right in the mix for the division, and that's our goal, is to win the division this year.
Did you know going into the weekend? I think we knew the fans were going to be great, but could you have expected that response for Albert?
Yeah, I knew that his first at bat would be special. I didn't know that every at-bat would be special. I didn't know the home run, I think, was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. The moment the ball left the bat, 40,000 people cheered. There wasn't like a moment of indecision. Like, have we decided how we're going to feel about a home run here? It was just unanimous cheering, and the curtain call was special. And then doing it again last night after his last at-bat, it was a great weekend. It worked out really well. I think for a long time people sort of complained that Albert hadn't been back yet. I think it turns out that the fact that there were several years and a lot of time between when he left and when he came back probably made it a more special experience all the way around.
Saturday worked out great because you get the home run, you get that moment, and you get the win.
Yeah, we were finishing off a big rally last night from having the perfect weekend, which is Albert getting like 9 standing ovations and 2 curtain calls and us getting a sweep, but we couldn't quite finish the last part of it. But yeah, Saturday couldn't have been better.
Mike Gersh, thank you very much. Enjoy the day on the course here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Relive the greatest game in Blues history. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
Hear this special rebroadcast of Game 7 tonight, beginning at 7 on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Mark Reardon live at the 2019 Cardinals Ted Savage RBI Golf Classic. And I think even more so than usual, I always like to chat with Benji Molina and Polo Asensio, but especially after this very special weekend at Busch Stadium. Benji Molina with us out here at Norwood Hills. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Excited to be here. For a good cause, and anytime you can do this for a good cause, it's actually very happy.
Are you playing today, or just hanging?
I'm gonna try to hang around, maybe shot a few things a few times.
Let's go. Who do you want to harass? Let's go on a tee box somewhere and just on a backswing start, you know, cracking a beer or something. Would you do that with me? I think that would be fun.
I forgot my horn at home.
Well, that would have been good, right?
Horn. But I forgot it. That would have been pretty cool.
I know.
But not just being here and hanging around with the boys. With the players.
Colton, you just waved to Colton Wong. I talked to him earlier. He's doing great. What was this weekend? I'm talking to Benji, not Yachty, but that was a special weekend for Yachty, for all Cardinals fans, for Albert. You got to see Albert over the weekend as well.
Yeah.
And is it your impression that he may have gotten even a little bit more emotional than he expected?
Well, we hang out with him and as a family, and he said he was going to get choked up. He was going to try to hold the tears, not because he didn't want to, just because it's a game.
Right.
You don't want to show up on your tears, but I think he really got to him, and the way that he said things after the game, he said, this is one of the biggest things, counting the two rings.
Right.
Top of the list. So I think he really got, the fans got to him because it was amazing.
Did you get to hang out a little bit last night? Did he stay in town after the game?
We saw him leaving, like saying goodbye to us, and they had to leave back to L.A.
So what's your assessment of where this team is right now? Because there's been, and I've had a theme of inconsistency because we know the month of May, but as the lawnmower goes by, as they're trying to cut some of the greens out here, this team is right in the thick of things with the mix in the division.
This team is three hitters away from taking off. The normal guys are going to do their thing. We need to get three other guys. They need to get hot.
Goldschmidt being one of them, and that's certainly possible.
If you count Goldschmidt, we got four, because I really do believe that for us to win, Bader has to pick it up a little bit. Wong, which we've seen signs that he's getting there.
Yeah.
And then Carp has to pick it up big time. I think he's a big key for us. You know, a guy that gets on base, a guy that gets RBI. So Fowler, of course, he needs to keep going and trying to get out of this thing. And he's doing way better, of course. But those guys are the ones that we need, because the other guys are still hanging in there.
You having fun with Polo doing these games?
Oh, we always have fun with Polo. Always. Whoever hang out with Polo and don't have fun, I don't know.
That dude, he's got some energy, doesn't he?
I love it.
Yeah.
That's what it is about. You know, every day come up and bring your A game every single day. And that's what he does. I mean, I always tell everybody, like you're asking me.
Yeah.
He always brings his A game, man.
Yeah.
He always brings his happy attitude to the field. And and that's contagious. So I mean,
yeah,
I am that way too. So
see, I'm not. See, that's the thing. I like Polo as he walks up here, because I'm like the exact opposite. I'm like Mr. Negativity. So he helps me out a lot.
You will never see me negative. I mean, worry about some things, yes, but negative, I don't think.
Good.
So.
Good. Well, let's segue into Polo. Benji, thank you so much. Have fun out
there
here.
You
thank you.
Do this.
Polo, how
luck,
are you?
Wait. Good luck out there, Benji. You're going to need
on,
it.
Buddy. Hey, we're not together.
I know we're not. That's fantastic. It's okay. You know, he's having a separation anxiety already.
What?
So, bye, Benji.
He was saying nice things about you, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, it's a great day to be here. I talked to my daughter this morning. She's out in California where I live. And she's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to school. What are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm going to a golf tournament. She's like, oh, I must be hard. I'm like, it is kind of hard when you don't know how to play golf. But once you get here, you start talking to the guys and everybody that's part of this tournament.
Right,
you know, playing golf sometimes is secondary when you do stuff like this.
Yeah, so are you actually taking part in the tournament? Some guys, a lot of the players were, you know, look, they have an off day. They need the rest today, so they're not necessarily swinging the clubs. Are you going to play or just hang out?
I'm a putt.
Nice.
That's it.
Come in like as the ringer putter, maybe?
I'm going to be the closer. I'm going to be the Jordan Hicks of the team.
Nice.
So just put it out there, tee it up for me, pun totally intended, and I'll try to put the putt in and, again, have a good time. That's it. Today is about having a good time, having a blast, helping the Cardinal care, and just, you know, keep doing what the Cardinals have done forever. Help the community by having fun.
What a weekend at Busch Stadium, Polo. Describe your, you know, your thoughts of how all this went down. And I don't know that you could have scripted it better, right? Because the Cardinals win the series. Albert gets his moments. The fans have a great time.
The fans had the moments they were waiting for. Albert had the moments he thought he was going to get, but then at times he was doubting he was going to get.
You think he was doubting? He wasn't sure?
Yeah. Because I actually talked to him quite a lot. And yesterday I waited for Sunday to do my interview with him. Everybody was, you know, looking for Friday. I was looking for Sunday from the beginning to see how he felt at the end of it all. And the way he felt blessed. He felt happy. He felt that the love that he thought at one moment was gone from St. Louis for him because of the way things happened back when he moved to the Angels. He was doubting himself just a little bit, but then once the date was getting closer and closer, he was getting anxious, he was getting excited, he was getting worried. But once he landed in St. Louis and people started to recognize him on the streets, he felt right at home again. Yes.
Yeah, see, I was very confident that he was going to get a warm reception, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't know it was going to last like three games. But you do remember, and I think Mike Claiborne pointed this out, you got different fans at every game. Yadi gave Albert his moments.
Yadi gave Albert his moments, And most importantly, Albert, más importante.
That was the skipper, by the way.
I'm trying to teach him Spanish so we can talk junk and nobody understands.
Oh, you know, I like that.
Albert gave the fans the moments they were waiting for, and also gave Yadi maybe the closure Yadi needed. Because sometimes we forget that him and Yadi, we saw it. If you forgot about it, we saw it. How close they are. And that's real. That's real love. Real brotherly love that goes beyond baseball, beyond Cardinal baseball, beyond anything. The relationship those two guys have.
Right.
And Pujols with the whole Molina family and the whole Molina family with Pujols, it is what you saw there just extends from Albert, Yadi to their kids. And I think as important as it was for Yadi and for the fan, for Pujols and from the fans, it was important for Yadi to put a closure to that relationship, to that relationship that left in the middle of a good thing and came back to say, hey, this is not as bad as you thought it was.
Yeah.
You're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. And I am proud of you. That's the way I see it. You know, people see Pujols coming back and we all did. But at the end, what I get is that Yadi needed this to close that relationship, that circle of my brother left me.
Yeah.
Now my brother came back, and now we can all exhale and be happy.
That's fascinating. I like that take a lot. Polo, always great to see you, man. Enjoy the day.
I will, and hopefully I see you out there. Not to golf, but maybe we can have a lemonade. I hear there's water, lemonade, soda, and things like that.
I'm going to open a soda during, Dan McLaughlin's backswing, probably Dan's.
Is he good at it?
No, but that's okay. We'll make him worse.
Okay. As long as I'm good as one of, better than him or Mike or Ricky, I hear. Well, he's got a knee injury.
Well,
his knee is still bad, so all I have to do is kick him on the knee and he'll be out.
That's right.
Let's do it.
You do what you have to do. Polo, we'll see you, man.
Thank you.
Polo Asensio, I love him. We have an audio cut of the day as we continue live at Norwood Hills.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, Carol is going to have details at 4 o'clock about the shooting death of Officer Michael Langdor, 40 years old, who responded to the Clay's Wilson Market in the 6200 block of Page Avenue yesterday, and he was shot by someone. I'm not going to mention the shooter's name. He doesn't deserve the attention. This is Major Ron Martin of the North County Police Cooperative.
Mr. Meeks had the gun in his hand, pointed the gun to the back, pointed the gun to the back of Officer Langdor's head, and fired one shot. Mr. Meeks was successful in executing a cop yesterday, and a good one. The shot didn't hit him in his head, it hit him in his neck. His left rear neck is where the bullet entered. It traveled to his spinal cord. Mike was a friend of mine. I've known Mike for 20 years. I appreciate Chief Buchanan and his leadership for this difficult situation we're in. I appreciate Mayor McGee. I appreciate every high-ranking law enforcement official standing behind me, every mayor, everybody that's been a part of this. I appreciate everybody's gratitude.
Just a horrible situation, and again, we'll have much more. And I was out here today at Norwood Hills talking about the Cardinals, and you know, it's been pretty light, the conversation today. That'll change a little bit tomorrow. We'll get into it much more. That's your audio cut of the day, and an unfortunate one here for Monday afternoon. Total Information PM is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.